Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, presented to you by Racing Post Members Club. My name's Sam Hart, taking you through a weekend packed with some of our National Hunt stars, or, well, we hope so anyway. Sandown, Aintree and Fairy Halster are points of call this week, and I'm joined by Racing Post tipster Robbie Wilders and Racing Post journalist James Stevens. We'll start off with four races we're going to be previewing from Sandown, the first being the Close Brothers Henry VIII Novices Chase at 1:45. This is a grade one, just shy of 2 miles, and the betting looks like this. John Bond is your 3-1 on favourite here. Boot Hill is 100-30. Unexpected Party is 12-1. And Honor d'Argent is 100-1. Robbie, first of all, I'll start with you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. You well?
Yeah. Looking forward to this weekend. Hopefully we see some of the decent horses out to play. We'll talk about ground in a second. But I suppose we could preview this race twice with regards to ground. Look, if John Bond turns up, he's going to win, isn't he, Robbie? But if he doesn't turn up and Nicky Henson decides the ground is far too quick, is there anything else you'd fancy in the race?
Yeah, I think, you hit the nail on the head. He probably is going to win. I mean, it was a nice chasing debut at Warwick, but I wasn't getting carried away by it. I saw he was backed into 2-1 favourite for the Arkle. I think that's plenty short enough, to be honest. I think he could win this quite easily and still not necessarily be a 2-1 chance for the Arkle. I thought there was actually a bet here, potentially. I think Unexpected Party is too big in relation to Boot Hill. He was the better hurdler of the pair. I know Boot Hill has won both his starts quite nicely over fences, but Unexpected Party, he actually traded at 1.4 in running to beat McFabulous at Exeter in his first start over fences. That was over 2 miles free. He didn't quite get home. He tired, looked like he needed it. I think there's a good horse there. I just think there should be more... there should be less sort of disparity between Boot Hill and Unexpected Party. So I'll go for the John Bond Unexpected Party forecast.
There we go. Unexpected Party to finish second behind John Bond for Robbie. James Stevens, are you heading racing tomorrow?
No, afraid not. But looking forward to it nonetheless. Plenty to go for. I mean, this is a bit disappointing, isn't it? I mean, you've sort of got a 3-1 on favourite, but I suppose it's a bit of a confidence boost for us all at the start of the postcast. But yeah, I mean, I think with John Bond, the other thing I think is quite important with him is he won round Warwick. Warwick's a really sort of good test for a novice. And I have to say the way he did jump round there was pretty impressive. So it's no surprise to see him getting all the sort of fancy quotes he gets. I mean, yeah, it's probably going to be a formality. Unexpected Party, I think, is an interesting shout. But Boot Hill, I imagine, will probably chase him home in second. I think he's been sort of his first chasing start. I think it was last season was pretty disappointing. But he's come back now and he looks a lot better. So, yeah, I think he'll give him a race. But, yeah, I'd be surprised if John Bunt doesn't run, to be honest with you. And it's actually interesting that I think this is actually weaker than the race he won at Warwick, even though this is a grade one.
Yeah, agreed. I agree with you there. And he's currently around 7-4, 2-1 for the Arkle in March, James. I mean, if he wins this in good style, do you think that he could be touching even money with most bookmakers?
I would hope not, because as we've sort of said there, I don't think it's a particularly strong race. I think if he was to do something more explosive than what we saw before, then possibly. But I think given the fact that so much pressure is on Anti-Post Markets and so much eyes are on it at the minute, the bookmakers will probably want to keep it where it is and just try and invite the punts in rather than cutting him when we've still got so long to go.
Okay, yeah, Boot Hill to chase John Bond home for James, and Robbie's going to be an Unexpected Party behind John Bond in the forecast. Let's go to the second race from Sandown now, which is the Betfair Daily Rewards Handicap Hurdle. 2 miles here, a Class 2 event. The betting looks like this. You can get the best odds on the Racing Post website. If you sign up to Members Club, you can also look for the best places. You've got an excellent pro card there, giving you all the past winners, all of the stats that you need. So do get yourself subscribed to Members Club. Betting is Love Envoy at 7-4. Currently the Cheltenham Festival winner. On Publique is 9-2. Playful Saint 6-1. Herm's Boy is 15-2. 10-1 about Friend or Foe. 12-1 about Mortador and Nearty, and then 33-1 and bigger, the other three. James, Love Envoy is a strong favourite here. We've actually just had an interview with Johnny Burke on What a Shout. Do you think there's enough pace in this race for her to be winning this, or do you think she's too short?
I think she's very short, considering we haven't seen her since Fairy House in April last season. I think as well, we know that she's obviously had a sort of a minor setback for the preparation for this, so her form going into it is sort of a question mark, and one would imagine that she'd improve for it. But I think more than pace, my concern would be more the ground. I mean, I seem to remember being really sort of at her best in that sort of Lingfield day and sort of progressing through at Sandown the time after that, when it was really sort of bottomless ground, and she seemed just to handle it so well. And, you know, I know Cheltenham was officially soft, but it was after that Wednesday, wasn't it, where they had such a deluge. So I think that's her sort of, one of her sort of key attributes is that she handles that sort of cutting the ground particularly well. And that's not going to be the case. I mean, this is a tough race to start back in. You know, I know she's got some sort of graded form as a novice against the mares, but this is a tough race. I've instead gone for Playful Saint for Dan Skelton. He's a bit of a difficult horse to judge because we've only seen him twice in Britain. One of the times was when he won, albeit quite remarkable circumstances because he was very keen early on and made mistakes and such, but he still won. But his comeback run this season was fair enough at Chepstow in a decent race. Looked just to get tired towards the end. He's another one that possibly would want a bit more cut in the ground, but he's a horse that certainly has the ability to win this sort of race. And if he has come forward from his first run, then he could be a bit of value.
Okay, Playful Saint 6-1 currently for the 220 at Sandown. Robbie, Johnny Burt was saying that Love Envoy Look could be a 150 rated horse, so clearly could be very well handicapped here. Do you think so?
Was he? I mean, yeah, she could be, but yeah, I'm like James. I really don't like her on a seasonal appearance at such a short price. I mean, one thing to say is it's quite weird that the ground seems so different on the hurdles and chase track at Sandown. It's soft, according to our website, on the hurdles course, but good on the chase course. There's not much rain around, so I'm expecting that to quicken up a bit. I think Love Envoy needs certainly a test over 2 miles. I think she's more of a 2.5 miler. I mean, it's going to be a tough ask to give away weight to some pretty interesting horses. The one I liked at the start of the week was Hermes Boy. Go back through some of his form last season. I mean, he was a real eye catcher on his hurling debut behind I Like to Move It when second. I mean, I Like to Move It's obviously done some good things lately. He's rated under 52. But, I mean, he actually caught the eye of the stewards that day for sort of like non-trying, beating 3.5 lengths. So I think there's definitely a good horse there. He's obviously been tricky. He tends to hang right-handed. But I think the drop to 2 miles and return to right-handed track is going to suit. I mean, on his return, he just didn't get home over 2.4 mile on soft ground at Worcester. He was carrying 12 stone 1 as well that day. He's going to like this much more. He's off 10 stone 4. And Jane Williams' horses are going really well. 33% strike rate over the last fortnight. They've been needing a run this season. He's £2 lower. So I think, yeah, Hermes Boy is my play to hit the frame.
There you go. Hermes Boy currently 15-2 for that race. Let's go on to the big one from Sandown then. The 255, which is the Betfair Tingle Creek. Again, just shy of 2 miles. Braid one here, and Shishkin is 11-10 favourite. Greenatine, last year's winner, is 15-8. Edward Stone, the Henry VIII novice chase winner from last year, is 13-2. Gentleman Demi, 11-1. Fernambul Savola's at 25-1. And Dunvegan is the outside of the lot at 66-1. Again, Robbie, we could probably preview this in two. Look, who wins if they all turn up, and who wins if Shishkin and Edward Stone come out?
I think Greenatine wins. Whatever happens, I think he should be favourite, to be honest. I mean, Shishkin ran like a horse with an issue at Cheltenham. Didn't like what I saw there. Obviously, that Clarence House sort of race of the season with Energamine seemed to take something out of him. I mean, you've got to be pretty trustworthy to be backing him at even money / odds on. I mean, of course, people might say that he wouldn't be running if he wasn't 100%, but, you know, he's taken on a proper Sandown specialist in Greenatine. I mean, his last three runs here, he's won 3 Grade 1s by an aggregate of nearly 21 lengths. I mean, he's just absolutely mustered over here. And there's every chance he's actually improved again. He's 8 now. I mean, that performance in the Halden Gold Cup off Mug 168 was brilliant. Career best RPR. I just think he'll win, frankly. I think he should be favourite.
Yeah, Roy's made a good case there, James. Look, last year's winner looked better than ever at Exeter. Cobden and Nichols, look, what isn't there to like about Greenatine?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think that performance at Exeter was a real sort of statement, wasn't it? It was just carrying that sort of weight, but doing that to, you know, yeah, OK, it wasn't the strongest hold of Gold Cup of all time, but it was a serious performance from him. I mean, with Shishkin, it's interesting, isn't it? I think there's probably going to be two ways we look at this. If he does run, we're either going to be thinking, well, this is a horse that we've compared to with like Altior and Sprinter Sacra and all alike. If he goes off 11-10 and wins, we're going to think, blimey, we're all Muppets, really, aren't we? But then if he gets beat, we're going to think, well, that price was way too short because he obviously had a problem. So there's no real easy way of looking at it. I am with Robbie Bell Grenadine. I thought he was seriously impressive. And I think he's sort of a horse that we've always thought maybe just isn't quite of that sort of top calibre. You know, when he wins, it's sort of, yeah, OK, but he's not beaten that sort of superstar yet. He looked like that superstar at Exeter. You couldn't knock anything about that. And form around Sandown is very, very important. We know how well he likes it. And I think the crucial thing as well about it is that those horses that might turn up will probably have bigger targets elsewhere. Paul Nichols is that target trainer. We've said it all before. This is the big target for him in the early season. He'll be fired up to his best. And if any time Grenadine is going to beat those sort of calibre horses, it's going to be on Tingle Creek Day.
Yeah, well, all of us agree. Grenadine, I think he's a great bet. And both the lads are looking to take Shishkin on in the Tingle Creek. Let's go on to the big handicap chase there, the 330, which is the Winners Wear Cavani Menswear London National Handicap Chase. Hell of a race name, that. It's a Class 2 event over 3 mile, 5 furlongs, and the betting looks like this: Revels Hill 15-8, Dyshaba is 4-1, Quick Wave 9-2, Eclair de Gears 13-2, and double figures about the rest of them. James, for a race of this nature, we have a fairly short price favourite in Revels Hill. Is 15-8 worth taking on?
To be honest with you, I've looked at this race for quite a bit and sort of wondered what might sort of come and beat this horse, and I've really struggled to. I actually sort of quite fancy his chances, and the price is a bit slim, I must admit. But I mean, he's a sort of a really quite progressive horse. I mean, he won twice at Taunton at the end of last season, and the last performance there was a win over this sort of staying trip at Taunton. The Two Amigos, who we know is sort of a seasoned handicap, staying handicapper even. And on his return at Ascot, he was fairly promising as well. He strikes me as a horse that's just going to keep improving. He's 7, he's going the right way. I think the other thing with him is that sort of the ground will probably suit him particularly well. He seems like he stays a trip well. He's just got a little bit of a touch of class about him, and he might be a horse that is just going to continue progressing and take that next step up into the next sort of grade. I've looked at some of these, and I've got sort of doubts about a few of them and unsure about sort of various things. And to be honest with me, I've looked at it, and the more I've looked at this race, the more I fancied him. So I think he's... I think he's going to be the one for me. And to be honest, I think he is the West Country nap for tomorrow as well.
There you go. Revels Hill, 15-8 for James there. Robbie, this is the kind of race I can see you having a strong shout. And am I right or am I wrong?
Nah, you're so wrong. Nah, I don't I don't really like these staying handicap chases too much. Yeah, I agree with James. Revels Hill, probably tough to beat. But I thought Almazar Guard might be one that can outrun his odds. I mean, not many horses truly see out proper marathon trips like this 3 mile 5, but this horse is a real Dallas stayer, placed over 3 mile 6 last season. He's come down to a mark I think he can probably win off, but you know, he's 20-1, it's quite speculative. I probably won't be playing in it.
Okay, 20-1, a small shout there from Robbie in the London National Handicap Chase, but look, if you can get extra places, maybe that 20-1 is too big. There we go, that's Sandown. Aintree's up next.
The world's number one horse racing app just got better. Download the brand new Racing Post app for free to experience our new game-changing odds comparison, exclusive daily big name tipping, and unrivaled app-only content. Head to the App Store to download it and get started.
Welcome back to the Postcast, presented to you by Racing Post Members Club, with myself, Sam Hart, Robbie Wilders and James Stevens. As you heard from that advert there, you can download the brand new Racing Post app for daily exclusive tips and unrivaled app-only content. So you can head to the App Store or the Google Play Store to download that. So we're off to Aintree now, and the first race we look at is a Grade 2. It's the 3 mile, 1 furlong. Boyle Sports Many Clouds Chase comes to you at 1:30 there at Aintree. Ahoy Senor is the 11-8 favourite. Chantry House is 11-2, along with Sounds Rush. And Noble Yates, the Grand National winner, is 6-1. Sam Brown, 8-1. And Dashiell Drasher is 14-1. I think the simple question here, Robbie, is can you forgive the last run from Ahoy Senor?
I don't know if I want to forgive it at those odds, to be honest, Sam. I mean, yeah, he was pretty flat, wasn't he? That's the worst I've seen him since his sort of maiden hurdle days. I mean, he's only that price really, isn't he? Because he's so good around Aintree. I mean, this is sort of perfect configuration. 3 mile 1, good to soft at Aintree. But I mean, this is a race where there's only £4 separating 6 runners on official figures. And you've got to give weight to some of them. Like, I think this is actually quite open. I mean, you've also got 4 other course winners in there. Chantry House landed the Mild Mayor a couple of seasons ago. Obviously, Noble Yates won the Grand National. Sam Brown won a really good handicap easily on the same day as the National. And then Dashiell Drasher won on his seasonal return here. So I think this is a pretty decent race. I think if Dashiell Drasher runs, he's quite interesting because I've been thinking for a while he probably needs 3 miles. I mean, he's only ever recorded his wins over a mile 7 to 2 mile 5, but the best part of his race is basically always the end of the race. I think he's crying out for this trip. I think he's quite interesting, and I think Sam Brown is also interesting as well. I mean, obviously, he was miles ahead of Ahoy Senior at Weatherby last time. He's got the course form there. He's sort of belying his years as a 10-year-old that he seems to be progressing a lot. But, I mean, his last two runs, RPRs are 1.63. I think he's in the shout as well. I mean, the two outsiders, those two, as I mentioned, I think they're interesting, but it wouldn't surprise me if anything happened. So I think the best course of action is probably just to lay Ahoy Senior.
Okay, yeah. Dashiell Drasher and Sam Brown giving big mentions there by Robbie. Definitely taking on Ahoy Senior, who's currently 11-8 favourite. I'm waiting for a day where the ground's really soft for Sam Brown, because I think he will have a huge day in the sun. James, who do you like in Aintree's big graded race on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm very similar to you as Sam Brown. To be honest, both of you. I agree with Robbie. I think he's sort of been rock solid, and this is a race where there are so many question marks about it. I always used to think as well that Sam Brown sort of wanted it really, really soft. But then he sort of caught us by surprise, hasn't he? Because it hasn't been that sort of conditions the last two sort of efforts he's put in, where he's probably been at his best. So the ground with him is a little bit confusing, I suppose. But maybe he is just sort of at the sort of peak of his career now. He is just sort of enjoying his best days. And I think on that form, I'd say, well, he's probably the value bet of the race because, you know, he's in form and there are doubts about others. But I think with this race, it's going to be fascinating to see what the market does. You know, you've got horses that we just don't know a lot about. You've got horses where fitness and how coming back and doubts and things like that, you know, that's going to be interesting to see how it sort of unfolds. But it's not a race I particularly want to punt on, but really, really interesting. I mean, I've done the preview for it today, and I must admit, I'm still every bit in the dark as I was when I woke up this morning.
Okay, a race worth avoiding, according to James. But what would you say with Ahoy Senior, James, is the main concern? Because this horse was incredible back in April here.
Well, the concern was he just was so, so disappointing at Weatherby. I mean, he didn't jump well. He was too free. It wasn't him. It just didn't seem like him. And, you know, you're going from a horse that has completely not run at all and completely run no race at all to suddenly going winning against horses that are posting those sort of RPRs in the 160s. Proper grade two horses, you'd have to say. That's the main concern with him, because he has to put behind not just a under par performance, but just a really, really no-show. So, you know, there are going to be massive doubts about him. And I think the odds always sort of tell you the picture. I mean, he was out to 25-1, 33-1 for the Gold Cup, as if he's, you know, a huge outsider. I mean, he was at the start of the season about 7-1, 8-1. So that explains it all, I think, really. But It'd be a shame if he doesn't sort of fire again, because he's a great horse on his day, and as we saw. So, yeah, interesting race nonetheless, though.
Yeah, very interesting. Worth taking on Ahoy Senior potentially tomorrow at Aintree. Let's move on to their big handicap chase, the 205 over 3.25 miles. It's the Ball Sports Beecher Handicap Chase, Class 1 event. Ashdown Lad and Geskill are the 11-2 joint favourites here. Captain Kangaroo 9-1, 5-star getaway 10-1. Hill 16 is 11-1. 12-1 about the magnificent Snow Leopard S, and 14-1 and bigger the rest. Now, I was on Geskill the last day, James, at 14-1, and he was so unlucky to lose that race in the Grand Sefton. Will he do the business this Saturday?
I think he would probably be the favourite to do so, wouldn't he? It's challenging, this race, because we were comparing, as only recently they sort of moved these two races apart from each other. So you can almost use one as a guide to the other, which never used to be the case. So people who study trends and such are probably pulling their hair out of a race like this. Yeah, it was very unlucky, wasn't it? It was a great run. I mean, for me, I just question, you know, just whether he's going to back it up. He's a six-year-old. He's still improving and he might well do, but it's entry fences and anything can happen. I liked 5-star getaway at the bottom. He's a little bit inconsistent, doesn't always run his race. But some of his form is very, very good. He won at Kempton around Christmas last year. That was a really, really good effort. Travelled into the race really well, jumped really well, and looked like a horse who might sort of win a big pot from a relatively low weight, considering what he's sort of up against. He did run at Aintree last year in the Topham. Was a bit disappointing. Was sort of midfield 14th here of 29 and sent off 11-1. So relatively fancied. So he's got to improve, but off a low weight, this sort of race, this might just be the time to catch him. But he's got a big one in one day. Hopefully, it'll be on Saturday.
Christian Williams staying chases, keeping it simple with five-star getaway for James. Go on, Robbie. How simple are you going to be keeping this?
I think I found one at a very nice price. Shout out to Keith Melrose, actually. We were chatting about this yesterday, and he sort of gave me a little bit of a steer. But
Big on the staying chases, isn't he, Keith Melrose?
He gave me a slight steer, but actually the case is kind of simple, really. Percussion, about 22-1. I mean, he was 8 lengths behind Jess Gill in the Grand Sefton at Aintree last time. But he's £7 better off this time. I mean, Jess Gill's obviously, you know, disputing favouritism. This horse is 4 times the price. His pedigree suggests he's going to be better over this 3-mile trip. 3-mile 2, sorry. And he's trained by Laura Morgan, who I think is a really good trainer going places. The fact he went off at 40-1 for that Grand Sefton suggests that, you know, he should be coming on for it at the very least. He's off £3 low. He's third in that. That's good handicap form. I just don't see really how he should be 22-1. I think Laura Morgan's going to win some big races in her career, and this could be one to put her on the spotlight on the big day.
There you go. Percussion 22-1. I'm just looking to see who's got the extra place this weekend. Most bookmakers paying 5 places, some paying 6. But I see Sky Bet are paying 7 places in the Beecher Handicap Chase. And let's move on to the 240 now, which is the Boyle Sports Daily Moneyback Second Handicap Chase, Class 2 event over 2.5 miles. And the betting looks like this. Riders on the Storm beat Hitman last day, 11-4 here. Brace Yaska and Gunsight Ridge, 7-1. Knight in Dubai, also 7-1. Kiltivi Briggs is 10-1, 11-1 about Cooper's Cross, and 12-1 and bigger the rest. Robbie, I said that Riders on the Storm look only up £2 for beating Hitman the last day. Surely that's not enough to stop him winning this.
Yeah, I don't think so either, mate. I think he's a pretty good favourite, to be honest. I mean, he was winning that old Roan from £3 out of the weights. Hitman's obviously come out and since bolted up at Haydock, he's now a bona fide King George candidate. The third Garlaw's come out and won the Paddy Power. I think that's pretty good form. I mean, £2 higher, as you say. He's got course form. One here, the old Rowan, as I point out, he was actually second in this off £6 higher last season. Brian Hughes back aboard. Yeah, I think he's got a great chance.
Yeah, James, you're in agreement with Robbie here. I know they said, I think the trainer said that this horse may be better fresh. Would that be the only concern?
Yeah, that would possibly be the only thing I'd be concerned about. I'd also sort of wonder whether the fact that that was sort of his big target of the day and those other horses were perhaps at different stages of their season and they might come on for it. So that's a question mark. I think one horse in this race, which is quite interesting, is Gunsight Ridge. He seemed to really step forward on his latest run at Aintree. Was a little bit disappointing towards the end of last season. Had some pretty good form. Was also sent off favourite at the Grand National meeting in the Red Rum. But just didn't quite fire. He's had wind surgery and seemed to really step forward from that when he won at the track. That was over 2 miles. He doesn't look to me like a horse who's going to sort of struggle over this longer distance. The last time he ran over this trip, he was second and Lahom Press beat him. He was actually sent off favourite that day. So, yeah, that's possibly a good piece of form now. Yeah, I just feel this horse has had the wind surgery. He's only up £4, 7 years old, continuing to improve, and it might just be that he can step forward again.
Okay, Gunsight Ridge 7-1 for James, and Robbie thinks that Rides on the Storm is a pretty good favourite at 11-4. Let's move on to the final race from Aintree, then the 3:15, which is the 2.5 mile Ball Sports Extra Places Daily Handicap Hurdle, another Class 2 event here. And Walking on Air is the 3-1 favourite. Langerdan 7-2, Harbour Lake 6-1, Herbier's 9-1, double figures bar those. One of my best mates is a huge Langerdan fan, James. It's fair to say he's got some talent, but it's tough. He's a tough horse to get right, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. And I think he's sort of one of those. I've long for a while thought that sort of that Stan hurdling division is just crying out for someone else to come up and, come up and sort of join them in that elite level. And I thought he possibly might be one of those at one point. And he still might be, by all means. I mean, he got his day in the sun, didn't he, at Aintree, and was decent enough on his return. Probably needs to step forward a long, long way to sort of enter that bracket. But I'm more with Walking on Air here just because I know it's a real doubt about fitness. And I've said that in the past and I'm probably sort of making a fool of myself a little bit. But this horse really, really impressed me. I thought, okay, this is a serious horse when he won at Newbury. He looked really, really special. And, you know, you've got to remember last year, before he didn't get to Cheltenham, he was a horse Nick Henson was talking about amongst the likes of Constitution Hill and John Bond. And we now know how brilliant they are. So all the signs about this horse is that he's going to be a serious, serious talent. And I know he hasn't run for a while, but 132 starting life in handicaps. I mean, he might just be simply way too good for these. And 3-1, you're essentially betting on whether this horse is as good as people say and whether he's fit. So that's sort of an interesting way of looking at the race, because if he is sort of the horse that we thought he might be, then, you know, he's going to be beating these, especially as he's getting something like £12 off Langer Dan. So interesting. He might be one that goes into the staying hurdle division as well, because it's a wide open division, isn't it? That's where I keep looking back to.
It certainly is. And yeah, Walking on Air was a massive hype horse after that January run. Didn't quite perform as well at Aintree, but look, could come back to his best here. Robbie, this is the last race we look at from Aintree. Who do you fancy?
Yeah, I mean, it was a toss of a coin job for me between Walking on Air and Langer Dan. I appreciate what James is saying. I mean, this horse has been sent off 9-2 for a grade one off the back of one novice hurdle victory. So he's clearly very highly thought of and could be miles better than a mark of 132. But I mean, he did pull up on his sole try at Aintree. I mean, you can't judge him too harshly on that. But maybe that's not a great sort of indicator. But I think Langer Dan, I think he is still quite well handicapped off 144. I mean, he was fancied, I know, in that conditions hurdle here on his return, even though he wasn't really weighted to win that race. But I mean, he did fade into third, but he always needs his first run. You go for his profile, he always steps forward to it. He obviously takes a bit of getting fit. I mean, when you watch the back of that Aintree handicap win, where he absolutely bolted, that's always an excellent race. And I think he probably is ahead of his mark. I mean, Dan Skelton was speaking about him as if he might be campaigning that sort of grade one level later in the season. So I think he's the one just with that run behind, but it wouldn't surprise you if Walking on Air blew this apart. I think it's between those two.
Okay, between the top two in the market, but just slightly favouring Langer Dan for Robbie in that last race at Aintree. Now, that's the action covered from this side of the Irish Sea. Join us in 10 seconds' time, where we'll be heading off to Fairy House for three races and the return of Honeysuckle.
Tis I, Dave Orton. Join me and an excellent panel every Saturday on Racing Post Live in association with Betfair. Tips, previews, live race reactions, and of course some raucous laughs along the way. That's Racing Post Live every Saturday. Subscribe to the YouTube channel so you don't miss a thing.
Thanks for joining us for the final part of the postcard. Sam Hart, Robbie Wilders and James Stevens giving you the best bets for the weekend ahead. So we head to Fairy House now for three races and three grade ones. We probably won't need to spend too much time looking at the Hatton's Grace, where Honeysuckle goes for a record fourth win. But we do have the Royal Bond Novice Hurdle and the Drinmore Novice Chase to get stuck into. And we'll start off with the Royal Bond Novice Hurdle. 2 miles here. Grade one and Champ Kylie's now 15-8. I'm pretty sure this horse was odds on earlier in the week. Marine Nationale 9-4, Irish Point 15-2, and then we're looking at double figures bar those three. Champ Kylie, a worthy favourite here for you, Robbie. Like I say, there has been a bit of a drift from what I know.
Yeah, it probably is. I mean, Paul Townend's aboard. Lots to like about the way he beat Brazil last time. Brazil's obviously come out and franked that form by beating Phil Dawe. Phil Dawe's come out and won a chase easily. Yeah, lots to like. Willie Mullins has a pretty good record on this one, 5 of the last 8 runnings. But I'm hopeful that Marine Nationale might beat him. I really like this horse in his bumper days, and he looks a really good prospect. A punch down his main hurdle. Yeah, there's a bit of guesswork involved with these novices, but this horse seems to have a real star quality about him, and I'd be quite hopeful that he's good enough. I think Mullins probably doesn't necessarily run his best sort of 2 mile novices in this race, even though his record is good in it. You go for a horse that won its statue air, quick grab him, early beach, long dog. None of them really end up being amazing horses. So I'm going to take a chance that Marine Nationale is going to be good enough for Barry Connell, which will be a first grade one win for him as a trainer.
There you go. Marine Nationale 9-4 for Robbie Wilders. James, you in agreement here?
Yeah, I was more for Champ Kylie, actually. A little bit concerned about the drift, as you mentioned, because, you know, when a horse goes from odds on to sort of 15-8, which I've got here, it's a little bit of a concern. Yeah, Champ Kylie's really impressed me. I sort of caught the eye when he won at Galway, won really, really well. And that looked a pretty decent race for a maiden hurdle. I was sort of surprised by the fact he went back to 2 miles. I thought he looked sort of 2.5 miles, and that was sort of the route to where he'd end off, possibly in the Cheltenham Festival. So to go and beat Brazil in that race at Tipperary is probably quite a strong piece of form, I'd imagine. And, you know, we obviously know what Brazil did last season. So, you know, he's a horse that's got sort of that quality form about him. Does have that real bit of class about him, doesn't he, which you want to see. But, yeah, Robbie's very right. You know, trainers are creatures of habit, aren't they? And the fact that Mullins doesn't tend to send his star prospects here is always a little bit of concern. So perhaps we should look a bit more at Gordon Elliott's sort of runner in the race. He's a bigger prize. I mean, he's won this with Bally Adam, Envoy Allen, horses like that not too long ago. So perhaps his horse is a little bit overlooked in the market.
It's going to be a fascinating race, the Royal Bond and Canfor Up. Some really good winners. Let's move on to a race that I think is probably one of the best novice chases we've had so far this season. It's the 155, the 2.5 mile bar one racing Drinmore novice chase. Like I say, a grade one, and Free Stripe Life heads the market at 3-1. Banbridge 7-2. Mighty Potter 5-1. Gaillard de Manil's 12-1. The Devil's Coachman is also 12-1. And 14-1 bar these. Like I say, probably the best novice chase that we've had on either side of the Irish Sea so far. James, you in agreement there? And who do you like?
Yeah, I think definitely, yeah. I think that's fair. I think I've gone for Mighty Potter here. I think a lot of these here horses have come into the race. I mean, Banbridge jumped brilliantly at Cheltenham, was superb that day. But I just wonder with him whether this is going to come a little bit too soon. So I'm a little bit unsure about that. Obviously, he had to travel over and the like. So that's a little bit of a question mark. Free Stripe Life, we know, is a very, very good horse. But I don't know. I just feel Mighty Potter's a horse that's just going to continue improving. He won at Downroyal, didn't jump particularly well. It was not the sort of most perfect of performance. But this is a horse with so much class and so much talent. And I just feel that he's just going to continue to progress when he gets experience. It's a bit of a test. It's a little bit of a gamble, sort of given the way others have been a bit more smooth. But I think he will emerge as the best horse from this race. And for that reason, I think I'm going to sort of give him a chance, because I think he's got so much talent and he's only going to improve.
OK, Mighty Potter, the Down Royal, currently 5-1 for the Drinmore Novice Chase. Robbie, who do you like in this?
Yeah, I think you're right, Sam, when you say this is, you know, an absolute crack. I think it definitely is the best novice chase we've seen this season. I had a good look at it at the start of the week for the weekend. I put up Banbridge, but the way the ground is, I'm not so sure now. I mean, it's yielding at the moment, but there's a lot of rain forecast on Saturday and Sunday. So I don't know. I think Banbridge might be slightly better on a sounder surface. You can make cases for a lot of them. Free Stripe Life, really, really good chase and debut at Nace, top class hurdler. Mighty Potter, similar comments. Gallo de Menil, probably find this a bit sharp on his return. I mean, the one that probably stands out, I can see 12-1 available, is the Devil's Coachman. I've put this horse up so many times, I'm losing count. But I think he's really good. Nice chase and debut at Galway. Only did what he really needed to that day. I mean, he would have been the best of these over hurdles just about, by virtue of his Boyne hurdle win last season from Ashdale Bob. He's a good horse, seems to sort out his jumping. That cost him on a couple of chases last season. But I don't think he should be that big, essentially. But yeah, I think this is between sort of 4 or 5. It's an absolutely cracking race.
Okay, the Devil's Coachman, 12-1 for Robbie, and James is with Mighty Potter. Now let's move on to the race where a lot of racing fans in Ireland will be heading to see, the one and only Honeysuckle in the Bar One Racing Hatton's Grace Hurdle, grade one, over just shy of 2.5 miles at 2:30 there at Ferry House. And she's currently 4-11 to win the race for a record fourth time. Classical Dream is 6-1. Echoes in Rain, 14-1. Ashdale Bob, 20-1. Tearpoos, 22-1. Darvastar, 25-1. Side of Early, 40s. And Saldier is 50-1. And it's probably going to be easy for us to say here, Robbie, that Honeysuckle will just go and win this. She's a very forgotten horse with Constitution Hill being seen last weekend, and a lot of people almost writing her off already for a champion hurdle. Does she win this? Could she still beat Constitution Hill? And look, we've got a dead eight. Is there anything at a big price that could place?
Yeah, I think she's got next to no chance of beating Constitution Hill. Wow, okay. That might wind people up, but
yeah, it might do.
It's good, isn't it? Probably. Wilder says, "Bring it on at me if you want." I mean, Constitution Hill is something I've not seen in watching racing for 10 years. I mean, that's not to knock Honeysuckle. She's still the best of the rest, but I just think Constitution Hill was crazy good. I mean, yeah, she probably will win this tomorrow, on Sunday, sorry. I mean, it's a fair enough field, but she's beaten all these horses before. With the actual exception of Classical Dream, though, I think he'll probably follow her home, but the market has that anyway. Classical Dream is best fresh. So it wouldn't be surprising, if he gave her a bit of a race, but I mean, she should be too good. But that's not to insult her by saying Constitution Hill beat her at Cheltenham. But, you know, I just think she hasn't met a horse this good, and I've never seen one this good.
Yeah, I think Classical Dream, I think, is actually, from what I know, might be one of the highest rated horses that Honeysuckle's ever faced. And I might be wrong there. James, she's currently at around 5-1 for the Champion Hurdle in March. Do you think we're writing her off a bit too soon?
I think Robbie's made a very good point there. I think that we are looking at a freak in Constitution Hill, and we know what Honeysuckle's about. We know how good she is. And I suppose she hasn't sort of blown us away in that sort of way. I think that's what we're talking about. I mean, it's still early days with Constitution Hill. There's a lot can change, a lot can go wrong, and that's the joy of anti-post punting. So I'm with Robbie. I think Constitution Hill will win against Honeysuckle, but a long way to go. So I've certainly not gotten stuck in that sort of market now. This race, I think, is more interesting than people think, because as Robbie sort of alluded to earlier, there's going to be a lot of rain around. It could be quite really testing ground. Now, if Classical Dream gets into his front-running rhythm, goes up at the front, goes well fresh, it's going to take some pegging back from Honeysuckle. She's going to have to pull out something if she's going to sort of peg him back on that sort of ground and get him back. So I think that's going to be quite interesting. If he can get off, really gain an advantage, and she's really got to find something, that's going to be really interesting. I mean, I'm sort of a stickler for sort of law of averages and stuff. I mean, we've got three really hot favourites this week. We've got this weekend, we've got John Bon, we've got Honeysuckle, we got Shishkin. I think the one of which I think possibly could get turned over might be Honeysuckle. I know it's extreme, but I just think that that way that race is set up is just everything is aligned for if she is going to lose her unbeaten record in the build-up to Cheltenham, this might be the day, just given the way it's set up. Shishkin's obviously more of an obvious choice given his fitness, but I just have a feeling that this is going to be a real test for her. And I don't think it's going to be as easy as people think.
Okay, 16 on the bounce, James. Think that if she is going to get beaten, it may be this Sunday in the Hatton's Grace. Now, we've got plenty of action elsewhere that we haven't covered. Even on Sunday from the UK, we've got Huntington, where the Peterborough Chase, the Grade 2, takes place there. Without giving the naps away, gents, we'll have to see if there's any selections elsewhere. Robbie, have you got anything over the weekend elsewhere?
Yeah, got one more, mate. 12:35 at Sandown on Saturday. I mean, you're producing the show last Friday, and I napped West Balboa at Newbury. She got pulled out because of the ground, but she's running again, hopefully, at Sandown in a 2-mile 4 mares handicap hurdle. The ground is obviously soft there at the moment. It could quicken up, but she should take her chance. I mean, she's got a Grade 1 place form in the book over the course and distance of that Newbury race, second to Stage Star. I mean, Stage Star did disappoint last time, but just you go through her form, I think there's a big chance she's very well handicapped off 127. And I'll stand by that. This race is probably slightly weaker than the Newbury one, so she looks a pretty good bet to win on a handicap debut off 127.
Okay, West Balboa in the 12:35 at Sandown on Saturday. James, any selections elsewhere for yourself?
Yeah, only one. It's a pretty decent day at Chepstow as well. Welsh Grand National Trial Day, albeit not as sexy as some of the other horses in there. I thought Top of a Bill in the first was a little bit overpriced. He's a horse that sort of had some really, really good bumper form behind some decent horses, but took a while to just get going over hurdles. And as such, he's got a pretty decent handicap mark. Was a good second at Sandown on his return. Looked like he sort of handled that sort of testing ground quite well. It's a bit on the sort of better side tomorrow, but I think he's really well handicapped. Might improve from that first run. And he's been a bit of a frustrating one to follow from a personal experience, but I think he's bound to win off his mark one day, and it looks a good opportunity at Chepstow tomorrow. So that's Top of the Bill in the first at Chepstow on Saturday.
There you go, Top of the Bill currently 9-2 in the 11:53 at Chepstow. So there's the main selections, but it's time to get the naps.
Postcast Naps, presented to you by Racing Post Members Club.
And we'll start with you, James Stevens. Who's the nap this weekend?
Yeah, I did point to it before. I'm going to stick with Revels Hill in the London National. Just a horse that I think is just on the right way, improving all the time. Conditions look fine. Looks like he'll stay this sort of test really well. Revels Hill in the London National at 3:30.
Yeah, the final race at Sandown, Revels Hill around 15-8 for James Stevens. And Robbie, who's your nap this weekend?
The nap is Grenatine in the Tingle Creek, 255 at Sandown, beat Shishkin.
There we go. I'm in agreement with you there. Grenatine to win the Tingle Creek on Saturday. And that's it for this week's postcast. Plenty of great action to get stuck into. But remember, if having a bet to gamble responsibly and safely. Next week, we've got so much coming your way, especially on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Tuesday sees the sweet spot for all the best golf tips. We have episode 5 of Up in the Ante. No show better in the lead up to Cheltenham there. Friday, we have What a Shout in the Know. And of course, another episode of the postcast looking at Cheltenham's Saturday meeting. Very excited for that. Until then, have a great weekend and enjoy the racing.